Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Why did the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut occur? Why did God not stop it? God could have prevented it, but why didn't he do it? Is it that God doesn't love the little children? No, that's not so. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them." So let's look and see that the creation of each human being through the process of procreation is the direct work of the hand of God. And a great act of love, which is to be done through love of husband for his wife and wife for her husband, and to bring children into world with a father and with a mother, to be taught and to learn the way of God, made in the image of God, for a great and fantastic purpose. But men don't like to obey God. We are a nation, as God says, that we have rebelled against God, a nation that will not hear the word of God. But let's see what God says about the little children. We saw what they did to the children that they didn't want. And in degree, though some children are wanted, this is a generation that has done more against God and his creation of the human race than any other generation in the history of the world. And maybe if we can view it through the eyes of God and the lens of Scripture, we can come to understand that this came because of the sins and murderous behavior of the religionists and politicians from the highest level to the lowest level. Now let's come to Psalm 139, because this tells us about how God creates children. Very important. We're going to see that a child developing in the womb is the work of God, by the Spirit of God, and that the mother is a special creation of God for the reproduction of the human race. God has made us in his image and put into Adam and Eve the genes and chromosomes that have been passed on right down through all generations to us. And it's the work of God. It's not the work of evolution. We did not come from monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas. We came from the hand of God. And God formed Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he became a living being. And he formed Eve from one of his ribs, and said that a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And he commanded Adam and Eve to multiply, to replenish the earth. And he gave us the whole world as an inheritance to live in, a gift beyond comprehension. And he tells us his secret of reproducing life in the mother's womb. And we are going to see that this comes down to the very question of abortion. Now, let's begin here in verse 13. God knew everything about how he was going to make man, everything that he could do, physically and mentally and spiritually. But God also made human beings to need God. And that's the missing ingredient in people's lives. They don't have God. They have a philosophy. They have their own rules and regulations, not the laws of God. They have their own physical carnal love. They have their own lust and driving sexual ways of doing things. And they have no knowledge of what they are doing. It's like the 13-year-old girl in the political ad that said, as she was upholding a president who believes in even late-term abortion, and while he was senator in Illinois, voted against a law that would require medical attention to an abortion if the child survived the abortion.
These are painful issues, but because I trust women to make these decisions.
A president who endorses same-sex marriage, belonging to a political party that rejects God. Now, there are many people out there trying to uphold the sanctity of life. But unfortunately, they are outnumbered by the secular humanists and Satanists, which is what they really are. And this nation is being taken down. And what has happened here in Newport, Connecticut, has a direct bearing on the abortion laws of that state, and hence the whole nation. Now, here's what David says when he contemplated his own humanness before God. Verse 13, "For you have possessed my reins. You have knit me together in my mother's womb." How does everything keep going and coming together to produce a human life? That by the time that a woman knows she's pregnant, that the baby is already almost fully developed and an inch and a half in length. Now, we've got a whole segment on Church at Home. From a speck of dust to a son of God, why were you born? So I recommend you go back and go through that series again. And you think about the human life and the greatness of it that God has created and what we do to it. And you think about the wonderful aspects of God's law of love and how that's been rejected for the hideous laws of men. Are you oppressed by the laws of men? Try the tax code. Verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Your works are marvelous, and my soul knows it very well. My substance was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and intricately formed in the lowest parts of the earth," a simile for the womb. "Your eyes did see my substance yet being unformed." God knows. "And in your book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." That's how God makes human beings. He does it. It is his work through us as human beings, male and female. And isn't it wonderful? A child is born. The first thing that happens, you look at the child and say, "Oh, what a miracle." And there are all kinds of miracles associated with human conception, development, and birth. And we all had to come from our mothers, every one of us. And every one of us had to have a father, every single one of us. Now, what happens when promiscuity and lust and sex upon demand at any age is the law of the land? We saw what ancient Israel did with the unwanted children that were born. They burned them in the fire to Moloch and to Baal. Now, let's come to Psalm 106. And let's see what God says that really is. And then this will bring us to the point of why the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut, and others that are generally going to come. Verse 36, "They served their idols, which were a snare to them." What is your idol? Is it a false god? Is it a sports team? Is it a hobby? Is it another man or another woman? Is it an ideology? Is it the government? What idols do you have in your mind, and what occupies the thoughts of your mind? Because that's who you are. And whatever controls your mind, from music to movies to games to sports, that's your idol. And through the prophet Ezekiel, God said to those elders who came to him to want to find out about God, God says, these men come to me, and they have their idols in their mind, and they expect me to answer them? He said, I will answer them according to their iniquities. Verse 37, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters to demons. Abortion is Satanism, just as the burning of their children in the fire to Moloch or to Baal was Satanism. And think of all the Satanism we have around, promoted by all movies, children's cartoons, education. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Verse 38, they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. And they were defiled with their works and went a-whoring after their own inventions. Isn't that what we have today? Let me read you some current statistics. Because when I first heard of what happened in Connecticut, of course you're upset because the children were killed, and rightly so. But if we view it through the Word of God in the lens of Scripture and the reality of the facts that are on the ground there, and we look at it from God's perspective, not a human emotional perspective, and yes, the survivors need comfort, and yes, they need understanding, and yes, God will resurrect those children and give them a new life and another opportunity for salvation. But that's in God's plan and His time and His way. But let's look at what is actually taking place in Connecticut. Abortions in Connecticut. The year 2011, there were 37,280 births. How many abortions? 12,615. I want you to think about that. Look at the outrage. Look at the media concentration on this. When there were 20 children slaughtered and 6 adults plus the man who shot himself. Now let's think on the other hand about this. And since 2002, Connecticut has averaged 13,000 abortions a year. Now, let's look at that number. That's quite a bit. 10 years, that's 130,000 murders. Think of that. Just in Connecticut. Is there any outrage? Is there any media sobbing and crying? Like I saw one commentator, he came on and he was so upset that the lives of these children were taken, which he should be well and good. But he's a staunch supporter of women's rights and abortion. So how can he, on the one hand, be upset with the murder and slaughter of children, and on the other hand, approve the murder and slaughter of even more children through abortion? They're double-minded. They're hypocritical. And yet, it's the state law, upheld by the governor, who had to come out and give a speech after the massacre, and the senator, and the dignitaries, and even the president came and gave a loving, supposedly touching memorial for those who died. of what good will it do if abortion is allowed to continue? Now, if there are 1,000 abortions a month, that means that there are 250 murders every single week. Everybody endorses that. Everybody approves that. Now, there are some organizations like the National Right to Life and the Pro-Life Action Committee, the Family Institute of Connecticut, and so forth. But they're outnumbered. They're voted down. They're looked upon as, well, you just don't get it. We're the smart ones. Yes, we must make all of our women whores and all of our men whoremongers and bring the age of consent for sex down to such a low level that all the pedophiles will now be free to do what they want to do. What a wonderful society we're going to build. That's a stench in God's nose. God hears the cries of those little children while the doctor on the abortion table, which is the altar, and the Planned Parenthood building or hospital or clinic is the temple. And the doctor is the high priest, administering those instruments to thrust inside to the womb of the mother and rip out that little child and tear it to pieces and throw it in a bucket and sell it to the scientist so they can have experiments to extend life for all the selfish, godless, elderly people. Yes, aren't we civilized? Aren't we modern? Aren't we good people endorsing 250 murders every single week? That's just in Connecticut. And you have outrage over 20 children slaughtered in school? Does not that demonstration of blood, guts, and gore and bullets make an impression upon your mind that the Almighty God is sick and tired of abortion and adultery and fornication and lying and stealing and cheating and coming before God and say, "Oh, God, why did you do this?" Now, we better all hear in fear. Because God said to those who said, "Well, this happened because these people were sinners." Jesus said, "I tell you, no. If you do not repent, you shall likewise perish." This is not a judgment against those children. This is an accumulation of the sins. As God said, He will bring upon us the evil of our own thoughts, and it will destroy us unless we repent. Do you understand that? Where is the outrage? Don't you think it's rather hypocritical for even the President of the United States to endorse abortion, same-sex marriage, and come and stand before the mothers and fathers grieving for the loss of their children and say this was the worst day in his presidency, when every day how many are killed through abortion in America? And he upholds those rights, supposedly. Those are unlawful, lawless rights and fly in the face of the laws of God, and He will bring greater judgment upon us for our sins and our murders and our drugs and our sex and our lying and our cheating and all of the things that we perpetrate upon one another, and then stand there and wipe our mouths and say, "Oh, we're good people." Let me give you some other statistics here. The number of induced abortions in Connecticut per 1,000 women ages 15 to 44 is 25%. One in four. Now, take this across America. And the next time you're driving in the car and you hear the Right of Life Association run an ad where they give you the sound of a beating heart of a child that is 26 days old in the womb. Poo-poom, 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 poo-poom. And deny that that is a human being, and deny that that is life from God, and claim that it's worthy of death and murder in the most horrible way of sticking instruments into the womb of the mother and ripping it out and killing it. God is going to judge for that blood. No. Oh, no, we couldn't do that. When Dr. Tiller the Killer was shot by a man who had enough of the abortions in Kansas, thousands of late-term abortions. Oh, we've got to prosecute that man. We have to put him away. Is that justice? Is that the law of the land? What do you think? You think God is going to idly sit by and not let these things come upon us? We have reached a point that unless there is repentance beginning in the highest offices of the land, in every branch of government, in every school, in every home, in every church, in every synagogue, this nation is going to go down, and the massacre in Connecticut is going to look like just a little side issue. Guess what the abortion rate per thousand is in New York City? Highly sexually active people in New York, 33%, one in three. Oh, yes, we must have women's rights. What about the innocent, unborn child? And no, God is going to judge for it. Connecticut, 25%. New Jersey, 28%. Now, in a couple of states where they still have some moral semblance, such as Mississippi, it's only 5%. And in Utah, it's 6%. But God expects 0%. You do the math. You do the judgment. You do the weighing of the sin. And if you think this is harsh and mean and evil, I'm telling you the truth from the Word of God. And I'm telling you the truth of what this nation is going through and what it is going to go through. And unless there is a mass repentance and abolition of abortion, this nation is going to fall, and it will not be pleasant. You see the things happening in Syria today? Think about what they're going through. Think about the slaughter of those children. Think about the horrendous things because of the evil of their society, that judgment has come upon them. And think about the arrogant leader who is heartless and ruthless and cruel and will just as soon see the death of everyone in Syria than to give up his satanic power. Go across the face of the earth. Any nation, UK, Europe, Russia, China, Southeast Asia, Australia, India, Afghanistan, all the Middle Eastern countries, the African countries. Don't you think that the death and starvation of those poor children in Darfur, God is angry about? But no one helps them. Just like they don't help the young, newly conceived life in the womb of the mother. No, we must have women's rights. Should we grant them the right of murder? Should we grant them the right of hate? Should we grant them the right of destroying the work of God within their bodies, a special instrument and vessel of God to reproduce human life, and expect God not to judge for it? Expect God to continue to bless us? Expect God to rescue us from our problems and difficulties? Now, it's not going to be done on a national basis, but I can tell you this. You can repent. You can come to God. You can forsake your evil. These sins, every one of them that I have mentioned, you can repent of, and God will forgive, and God will help, and God will heal. And all of those forgotten, aborted babies, as I said, God is going to resurrect them from the dead, because God is going to eventually undo all the evil of Satan, the devil, and all men and women down through all history. And that's the plan that's in the Bible. You don't hear that from the pulpit of the church you attend. You don't hear that from the religion that you believe in. The very book that people don't want to hear anything about. The very book that has been lied about and has been abused by ministers and evangelists and popes and cardinals and bishops all down through history, and by politicians and evil and wicked people. The Word of God is here. It's going to judge us. It's not going to pass away, and God is not going to be removed because His way is inconvenient for you. God is real. He means business. He's a God of love and mercy for those who repent and come to Him. So this is the choice set before us. This is why the massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Please write for our book, Lord, What Should I Do?, the other material that we have. So until next time, so long, everyone.